Before we get into this episode, I want to invite you to join the community of faith-based storytellers. Yes, Faith Audio Network. Now, Faith Audio Network is our online community designed to sharpen and encourage faith-based storytellers to use their voice and overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So if you know that God is calling you to speak up, if you know that in this season, God is telling you to use your voice, whether that be on stages or launching a podcast or being a guest on podcast or even doing an audiobook or some type of audio experience, then I want to invite you to join this community. To learn more, please visit faithaudionetwork.com. That's faithaudionetwork.com.
I'm not here for any other reason than to love like Jesus.
Yes.
Because if we're not loving like him, then what are we doing?
Hello, my love, and welcome to another episode of the Faith-Based Storyteller Show, where we sharpen and encourage one another in Christ. I'm your host, Michaela Robertson, and thank you so much for joining me for another day, another week, and another opportunity for us to walk in the Lord's will for our lives. Now, today's guest is someone who is truly walking in the Lord's will for her life. Not only is she an amazing performer, as she's graced stages on Broadway, she has done so many musical theater performances, but she is also just allowing the Lord to perform through her. And so I'm so excited to introduce you today to Cassie Donegan. Cassie was born and raised in New York, Massachusetts, and Tennessee. She has a degree in musical theater, and she's actually currently in a running for Miss New York. And so we're going to talk about that too. Cassie is a triple threat, literally in every phrase of the word. And she not only is managing her career as a performer, but she is also the head of a nanny agency. And she's doing some amazing things to serve not just the kingdom of God, but everywhere God is calling her to serve. And so I can't wait for you guys to meet Cassie. She is a firecracker. She is a Southern belle, and she is just the sweetest. And so without further ado, here is Cassie Donegan. Welcome to the show, Cassie.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
I am super excited to have you. I cannot wait to dive into your story, your journey, your testimony. But first, I want to give you a little bit of time to introduce yourself to the people and let them know who you are and what God has gifted you to do.
Awesome. Yeah. So I am a New York-based actor. I've been performing since I was 5 years old, but professionally in TV and film and as well on stage since I was 9.
Oh, wow.
Kind of all over. I've seen a lot of places, worked with a lot of really incredible people. And then also my day job is I'm chief operations officer of a nanny agency, Southern Sitters, which is based in Nashville. So I spend quite a bit of time teetering back and forth between the two places. I'm a dog mom. My dogs are my entire life. You very well might hear them at some point out there during this. Yeah, and I am currently Miss New York volunteer, getting ready for nationals in June. And so just all over the place always, but always exciting, full of blessings, and just kind of going through the doors that he's opening. So
I love it. I absolutely love it. And I want to talk to your journey specifically, because a lot of people within the entertainment industry have their own walk with Christ. And I think it's so interesting how you said you've been performing since you were 5 years old. So take me back. Take me back to 5-year-old Cassie. Yeah. Take me back to the first heartfelt moment where you knew, oh my God, this is what you created me to do.
Yeah. So I don't really remember a life without performing. I grew up in the same church from birth. It's kind of embarrassing that all of them like changed my diapers at some point and they love to talk about it. But this very small church in a tiny little town in Virginia, all the way until I graduated high school, until I moved to Nashville for college. And I performed for the very first time on that tiny little church stage. I was very, very involved in our music ministry there. And I was just definitely that hyperactive kid who needed something to sink her teeth into. And so my mom put me in dance when I was 2, and then put me in my first musical. I was Ka the Snake in the Jungle Book when I was 4, about to turn 5, and started taking voice lessons when I was 5, and it just stuck. And I just kept doing it. And what's funny is I don't, you know, they say in the industry, if you can think of anything else, go do it, because the arts is just, you have to know that that's what you want to do. But I think I've almost operated opposite of that, because I have known and had such a peace my whole life that that was my purpose. It's not just what I wanted to do, God gave me those gifts for a very specific reason. And sometimes it's really difficult to decipher which path he wants me to go down. But it makes me not afraid to take advantage of those other opportunities that come along the way, because I think so often I see a lot of people in the arts because of that mindset of, nope, I can't accept anything else because it'll invalidate my artistic journey. They close those doors. And I think because I've never known a time where I haven't known that that's supposed to do, I've very much so welcomed all the extra opportunities, and sometimes that gives me a plate that's like so full. But never a moment where I'm not grateful for the fullness of it, because I'd rather have my hands in as many things as he'd allow me to be impactful than be sitting and waiting. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely, like utilizing all of your gifts to the fullest. I love that. Now I'm curious, you run this nanny agency, or you have this nanny background. How did you go from growing up always loving to perform to I'm gonna help kids? Like, where is that correlation?
So I have always been, I'm a grandma, like 100%. Like my best friend growing up was my great grandma. Both my great grandparents had a huge hand in my upbringing. And so I've always either connected with people significantly older than me or significantly younger than me. And so from a young age, I knew I wanted to have some involvement with children and pouring into them in some way. So even when I was still a member of like youth and children's ministry, I was helping with the youth and children's ministry below me. And so finding a way to beautifully blend that with the arts has been really fun. And so I started babysitting in high school, and then I started nannying throughout college, because often the daytime schedule of that is very conducive to a nighttime performance rehearsal schedule. So it was great because I was getting to connect with kids and families that I loved, impacting them in a positive way daily, and then going and performing at night. And I never had to work on the weekends, usually if I was nannying full time during the week. So it just all worked out. And Southern Sitters kind of stumbled upon me. It was established just a few years before I came on the team. I was a sitter for a short amount of time, then came on as a hiring manager, then hiring director. Then I actually helped start the nanny placement program within the company, became the placement director, and then now I'm chief operations officer of an entirely women-run business and have an incredible team. And sometimes I have the world's worst imposter syndrome, because I'm like, how did I find myself here? But it's great. I have our owner is incredibly supportive of all of our individual journeys, and she herself is a faith-filled woman, and that's really important to me. And she is incredible at ensuring that our cups are always full, and we have the ability to refill our cups when we need to, and being very respectful and mindful of our journeys outside of the company too. So yeah, you find a lot of performers involved in childcare, which is really interesting, especially in the Nashville area where Southern Sitters is based, because you have so many people in the live music industry and things like that. And yeah, it's great too, because so many kids are into that. And so it's really nice for the parents to be able to have someone that, like, I half the time was having like dance parties and singing with the kids that I was taking care of, or acting out little shows, or half the time taking them to shows. So yeah, it's been really cool to blend the two. And I think it very much was God sent, because in no world without him doing so do I think I'd have a full-time 14-hour a week job that allows me to go off and do a 2-month contract of a show and keep my job.
Absolutely. That is actually a crazy schedule. And I was also wondering how that played into effect. Like, I feel like if I had a nanny, I would definitely want her to take me to shows and create these huge productions in the house with the set and everything. So I feel like that's so awesome what you guys are doing. Now, you split your time between New York and Tennessee and Massachusetts.
So yeah, my dad is based in Massachusetts. And so he has lived here since I was a little girl. So I spent summers and winters and parts of the time up here my whole life. But right now I'm currently teaching a class at a conservatory up here, a couple days a week. So I'm in the city for most of the week, and then up here for part of the week. And then about a week, if not 2 weeks out of the month, I'm down in Tennessee. And so
Gosh.
we're constantly in a car or on a plane, but traveling mercies, thank goodness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love it. Now, I want to dive into your story, Cassie. You have been a performer your entire life, and God has gifted you with this gift to be on stage, to tell these stories, to really embody these characters. I'm curious, when it comes to your performance life, what were some of the greatest characters you've played that resonated most with who you were or who you wanted to be?
I think I've been very blessed that I've played a lot of roles that I have really aspired to play very early on in my career. I think I've played Doralee Rhodes in 9 to 5 a few times, which is Dolly Parton's character. And growing up, when I was 16 and had my car that had a cassette player in it, I was rotating Dolly Parton and Olivia Newton-John just in my car and not playing any current music at all. And I definitely looked up to Dolly a lot, especially being someone who was so open about her faith on such a large platform and completely unashamed to do so. It's like you take it or you leave it, and had somehow balanced this incredible line of, this is me, this is who I am, I love Jesus, and somehow still has the heart of just about every single person in the world. I think, was it in like 2020 that she was like the least hated person, which I didn't even know was a poll, but it apparently is a
I
poll, like
didn't
the
know that
least
was a
hated
poll.
person in the world. And so, my whole life, if I can be Dolly Parton, I would probably fall on the floor and my life would be complete and we'd be good to go. But I, when I got the opportunity to play her more than once, I connect to that part a lot because I think, a big message of that is not reading a book by its cover. Obviously, we decorate the cover because we want you to read the book more. And so that's very much so a huge part of that character's story is stop judging me by what you just think of me. And I think that's very big for me, even just in not just my personal life, but my professional life, because so often people hear the word Christian and they make negative associations with it very quickly. And I understand that to a degree. A lot of those people, unfortunately, have not been hurt by Jesus. They've been hurt by the church. And that's a really big responsibility, but also a really awesome responsibility to kind of change that mindset of people. And I've had to learn over the years, yes, you see me, you hear me say 2 words, you recognize I'm from the South. That in and of itself comes with its own association. Then you hear I'm a Christian on top of it. That comes with that as well. And I've found myself so many times being like, oh, no, not like that. Like, you know what I mean? And having to be like, I hate that I even have to like say that, but I also fully understand why I have to say that. But hopefully, by getting to know me and knowing my heart, it's I'm not going to have to say that anymore because I'm going to help you see that I really hate that that was your experience. I fully understand why, but that's not the experience that you're going to have with everyone who knows Jesus. Because firmly, I believe I'm not here for any other reason than to love like Jesus. Because if we're not loving like him, then what are we doing? Right? And so I think really, when playing Doralee and her just showing people, like, you have this huge misconception of what you think I am and who I am, and showing that through her actions and proving them entirely wrong, while it's both very empowering for myself, it's at the end of the day such an impactful way to glorify him in every situation I find myself in. Which, if we're not doing that, then what are we doing in that situation?
Absolutely. I love it. I absolutely love it. And I feel like the industry that you're in, it can be so hard to be received by so many different people on top of the things that a lot of performers going through, the pressures, the constant performances day after day after day, the influences, the temptations, all of the things that come with being a performer. How do you navigate the entertainment industry and all of those pressures and temptations that may come with being a performer?
It's hard. I think a lot of it's deciphering what I feel God is saying is what's right for me. I think so often we lose sight of what actually is in the Bible and what people are telling us.
Yeah.
And so often people set standards for themselves and their walk with the Lord based off of things that other people say and the standards they set for themselves. And
Yes.
so it's finding the fine line of this is my relationship with God. This is my walk with Him. This is what I feel and have peace in knowing I'm comfortable doing where my line is. But if your line is way farther ahead of than me, like that's not my place to say anything on that. And if it's way behind me, that's also not my place to say anything about that either. Because when I get to heaven, He's not going to look at me and be like, oh, well, you didn't stop so and so from checking themselves in their walk with me. He's going to ask me and judge me on my walk with Him.
Yeah.
And I was doing. And so I think it's really just deciphering what is the world, what is the Christians around me, and what is God's voice
Yes.
telling me of what's right. And it's so hard because, I'm my biggest critic, 100%. I have never not been hard on myself. And that's in literally everything I do. And so it's figuring out, I'm a human and I'm gonna make mistakes, right? And being able to say, okay, I did that. How do we not do that again? What did we learn from that? Where does my line need to move? Or was it situation that was just making it difficult to figure out where the line should be set? And it is hard, especially too, because sometimes the content isn't easy to, decide if it's something that I should be doing, or the people that I'm, engaging with in certain social settings. And it's difficult also just for your own mental health too.
Yeah.
I mean, to constantly be on is really hard.
Yeah.
And being a performer, you're not just on when you're on stage. You are constantly on when you are around, networking events, or when you're in the audition holding room, or you're walking down a hallway of a rehearsal hall. Like you constantly are on. You're constantly auditioning, as they say. Like you've got the job, you're auditioning for the next one based off of how they enjoy working with you.
Yeah.
And it can be draining, and reminding yourself you can only give what you have. If you
Yeah.
don't have your cup full, and you are the only person responsible for making sure your cup is full, you
Yeah.
can't rely on others to do that for you. If you can't step back and say, okay, I need to remove myself from this, even if it's not something that God is telling you is wrong, you just are capped out.
Yeah.
You're never going to be able to give yourself as you should. And I honestly think that is harder than any temptations or boundaries or anything that you have to navigate in the industry. It's saying the no, really,
Yeah.
I think is the hardest.
Okay. I want to do something,
Okay.
and I don't want us to be on.
Okay.
I don't want this to be a moment where it's just another
Yeah.
interview. And I don't want performance Cassie. I want the daughter Cassie. I want the child of God Cassie. I want to know who Cassie is and who Cassie was created to be. And
Yeah.
what are some of the things that Cassie struggles with? Because I feel like we are always on the lights, camera, the action, the stage. We are always putting on a performance.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned earlier, there are some ways that many of us struggle with imposter syndrome and not believing that we should be where we are or that we're worthy or valuable of where God has placed us. So I want to know, who is Cassie?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's evolved a lot over the last few years. I remember being in my early 20s and knowing who I wanted to be and not knowing how to get there. And searching constantly to find that version of myself, in every way. I wasn't in the health I wanted to be in. I wasn't physically as fit as I wanted to be. I wasn't in my walk with Jesus where I wanted to be. I wasn't in my career where I wanted to be, but I had no idea how to get there. And then COVID happened. And it was like we all had to just shut down. And I was kind of forced to be like, okay, well, now I have time to figure it out because nothing is happening. And that, I think, if nothing confirmed more that performance has to be a part of my daily life, it was that. Because not even like we couldn't, I couldn't, my favorite form of worship is through music. And I think that that's just because of who I am as a being. I feel it's the easiest connection for me, like directly to him. And whatever flows out of my mouth is just flowing right to him. And it's like the room could be full of people and it feels entirely empty. And I lost that. I lost that entirely because we weren't in church every Sunday. We weren't able to do that. And there was just something so different in my bathroom, in my apartment. Like, do you know what I mean? And then add on top, I lost Broadway entirely shut down. We lost musical theater as a whole. And so these two very large parts of my being, I had to figure out how to operate without them. And that was a very vulnerable place to be in because it was in that moment that I recognized that so much of who I was entangled in what I was doing. And I didn't know who I was without those things. I didn't know who I was without going to church every Sunday and being on the worship team and helping with the children's ministry. I didn't know who I was without my show, without my rehearsal to go to. That's scary when you think you know exactly who you are at that moment, even if it's not where you want to be, and then realizing, oh, I'm not where I want to be, and I have no idea who I am. And being forced to not just ponder with rediscovering who you are, but pondering, okay, well, then are the thoughts that got me here my thoughts? Are the things that got me here the things that I believe? And really having to sit down, especially coming from a Christian household my entire life, and saying, are these my parents' thoughts? Are these my great grandparents' thoughts? Are these my thoughts? And that was a very pivotal time for me in my faith and really rediscovering who is Jesus to me. And after that, so many things changed. So many doors opened. I was terrified at what was going to happen to this career that I had poured everything into from such a young age. And, you know, it was hard getting back into it, but I have been exponentially blessed in the opportunities that have come my way post-COVID and things that I never would have even thought of ahead of time, primarily because I think for so long, I've always been comfortable in the weird. Like, I've known I'm different my entire life. I have ADHD out the wazoo, and I hyperfixate on things that people are like, why are you talking about that right now? Like, what does that have to do with anything? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. It just crossed my brain, and I know 800 facts about it because I thought of it one day and Googled everything. And like, I've just always been like that. We've spoken about before of like my great grandma was my best friend growing up, and so that has translated into my adult life very much so. And it was this moment of, okay, so I've always had a friendship with Jesus. I've never felt self-conscious in prayer. It's never been hard for me to pray or just have open conversation. I've always felt like he's my friend. But where am I at with God? Because I have a friend in Jesus, but is that in that, am I maintaining my awe of our Creator, of our Lord? And it was kind of in that moment where I was still on fire in my relationship and in my walk, but I had almost become lukewarm in my acknowledgement of who I was friends with. And I think that's when I really started to figure out that I knew more of who I was than I thought I did. I just wasn't okay with it being the version of myself that is public because people didn't want me to be that. And at the end of the day, I am a goofy, silly little country girl who just happens to know how to tease her hair and put eyelashes on. But 9 times out of 10, you're going to find her with some Oreos in pajamas. And I am a hot mess express and I can fake it till I make it real good. But 9 times out of 10, I have no idea what I'm doing. But I think that's most people.
It
We just
is.
don't want to admit it. And I think if we
It
could all just accept that most of the time we're all just kind of wandering around hoping that the spaghetti sticks to the wall when we throw it,
Yep.
we could have so much more grace with each other and with ourselves.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I think the very long-winded answer to your question of who is Cassie is, I think it's an ever-changing answer, and that's kind of how it's supposed to be. But at the end of the day, like, I know who I am to God, and that is someone that he loves unconditionally, and I have to try to have that same love for myself when
Yeah.
I'm not meeting these oftentimes unrealistic standards that I set for me, because he's certainly not setting them for me.
Absolutely.
And so yeah, it's just embracing the mess that we are and acknowledging that we're not gonna be this perfect thing we want to be, but he's already dealt with that. And we have to thank him for that and lean into that and strive to be as much like him as we can, but accept that we're not gonna meet those unattainable standards. And that's why he already dealt with it. And just accepting the mess that we are and finding the beauty in it.
Absolutely. I think one thing that I say often is there's a mess in the message. Literally, the word message has a mess. But
I
when you
love
really
that.
look at it, the word message starts with M and it ends with an E. And so even in our mess, Jesus is always saying, I am the message. It starts and ends with me. And so I'm so grateful that you are just who you are. You are the beautiful country, gorgeous, exciting, goofy performer that God created you to be. And I have on sweatpants and fuzzy socks as we're doing this interview because it is about just embracing the now and embracing who we are and knowing, not knowing what the next step is, but knowing that God, our provider, is going to provide our needs, but he's also going to provide the guide, the path that we need to take in order to take the next best step because we don't know what 10 years holds. We just know what to do right now for whatever may come next.
And if we don't, waiting is as frustrating as it can be. I think there's two kinds of waiting, and we often misunderstand the kind we're supposed to be doing. We can't inactively just sit and wait and hope he drops it in our lap. But instead, we have to still be moving through the waiting.
Yes.
We are waiting for him to answer our prayers. We are waiting for him to answer the desires of our hearts, but we cannot literally just sit and wait.
Yes.
Nothing is going to come from us doing nothing. And the only way we're going to know if it's the path he wants us to go down is if we move. And
Yes.
I think we're going to make wrong moves sometimes, but it's okay because we're going to have him to fall back on and he's going to redirect us in the direction we're supposed to go. But sometimes we can't eliminate that option. Because he can, but he's not just gonna close the doors and open the perfect ones. That's not how life works.
Oh no, someone, I don't know who it was. I think it may have been Pastor Stephen Furtick. I don't know. I remember it was some one of the mega pastors. But I heard him say, God doesn't give you the table, he gives you the tree. So we all see this furniture, the chair, the table, all these things that are made out of wood, but God's not going to give us the table. He's going to give us the tree. And we have to figure out how to carve and mold what God has given us into this beautiful creation that can be enjoyed by not just ourselves, but others, and it can live on way beyond where we are in life.
No, I love
Absolutely.
it. I think, I just think it's one of those things where, and I can be very guilty of this, is waiting for Jesus to slap me in the face with the answer. And I mean, sometimes I kind of give him no choice and then it like blows up in my face and he hits me real hard with the answer. And that's usually when it's the like, hello, I told you like 6 months ago to get out and now here you go, figure it out. But yeah, I think too, we so often want to have a hold on what is happening and it's so scary to just release. Because if we're holding on to the reins so tight, God's not going to try to steer. He's going to let us with our free will do that and go down the wrong path. And it's not until we let go that he's going to say, okay, I've got it now. thank you. I'm gonna take you where you're supposed to go. And that's so scary, and that's so hard to do. And it just goes back to, faith is believing in what we cannot see. We cannot see tomorrow. We have no idea what's going to happen 10 minutes from now. And relying on knowing that even if it's not what we thought, it's going to be where we are supposed to be and the happiest we could be if we just let it be where he wants us to be. And that's terrifying sometimes, especially if it's the complete opposite direction of where you think you wanted to go. But that's it. That's what we have to do. You're never going to be the joyfulness or filled with the joyfulness that you want to be filled with if you don't allow that to happen. And I think, with the tree analogy, we have to learn to decipher and hear God's voice to know what to do with the tree, because we can also be given these incredible resources and blessings and then squander them
Oh, absolutely.
so big time. And, I think even I recently, I was in a situation that just, it wasn't serving me. I wasn't serving those around me, but it was comfortable. And I didn't want to leave that situation. And I loved these people. And it was heartbreaking and gut-wrenching to leave that situation. But I distinctly remember it was about 3 days later. I was in the car and I was driving. And it was, the Holy Spirit spoke in me so loudly that I almost heard it audibly of welcome back. And it was almost this moment of like almost bringing me to tears right now of like, whoa, like I have been ignoring some of these things that you've been telling me for months now, because I was holding on to the reins so tight. I'm like, nope, I can redirect this. I can fix this. I can bring all of this back to you. And that behavior did not deserve a welcome back like that. And I think that that is just such a testament of the kind of God that we serve. Of you can go off and do your own thing, and it could be fully against what he is wanting for your life and the plan he has. And he is always going to welcome you right back. And the second I let go of those reins, he certainly did grab a hold of them. And it was 2 weeks later, I was crowned Miss New York. And a week after that, I had numerous emails in mine and my manager's inbox regarding different opportunities with different film and television spots. And I was doing amazing in auditions, and I have numerous callbacks. And it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. What was I doing? Why was I trying to steer this? Because I have no idea what I'm doing. Even if I think I do, like, I have no clue what I'm doing. And humbling yourself. And I struggle with it every day, being a type A Virgo, like on it. I'm a type two Enneagram. I have to have lists and all of the things. And I am the textbook of all of these things. I like being in control and I'm a planner. Do not spontaneously pop something on me. It will not go well. It's so hard for me to say, okay, God, yeah, you do it. You write the story. So I'm like, can I like know what's coming though? Like you write, but can you send me like a
Me
little
the manuscript,
tomorrow?
like
Yeah, like
just
can
give me
you
the
just like
script.
give me an email of like the agenda tomorrow, please, before you go to bed? Like it just doesn't work that way. It does not work that way. And every time he proves me so wrong when I'm like, I don't understand why this didn't happen. And then it's months later, I'm like, oh, this moment right now is why that thing didn't happen. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm a little embarrassed that I like got mad for a second, but like, sorry. Like every time. And I'm like, okay, Kezi, you need to get with the program. And I'm getting better, getting a little better. But it's hard, and it's remembering God's not a vending machine. We can't put in a dollar and say, I want E2. Because he's be like, I'm eating your dollar and you're getting C5. Like, I'm not like, no, that's not how this goes. I don't know who you're talking to, but I am not here just when you want something from me.
So
Like,
good.
let me walk with you, let me guide you, and learn to have a conversation with me, because I'm also not a dictator either. Like, let's
Yes.
have a conversation, because when you get to know him and he gets to know you, then the desires of your heart start to become the will of God for your life.
Yes.
And I think that's when people start to see that happening, the scary element starts to go away, because when you start seeing him take the reins and doing the things that you're wanting and asking and envisioning for your path are lining up with the things that he is doing, then I think you know you're on the right track with him. And when you a relationship can't be one-sided, and that goes with God as well. And so yeah, I mean, long tangents for me tonight, but like
Not at all. Like, not at all. I'm like, Cassie is sitting here dropping a whole sermon on us, and we had no idea. Like, it was
I
like,
have not
oh,
spoken
okay.
to anyone like all day long. I had like two client calls, and so you got Cassie, who spoke to no one all day long. So now all the word vomit's coming out. So
But you
you
know what?
know.
I wanted to know Cassie. I don't want to know the performer for the clients. I wanted to know Cassie. And Cassie has given us Cassie, and we are here for all of Cassie. So
Yay.
I love this. I love this so much. You mentioned that you were crowned Miss New York. Walk me through that experience because that seems so huge.
It was a whirlwind. I told no one about it except for like four people. My best friend is currently working on a cruise ship. She had no clue. I had a very major life event happen shortly before, like I was talking about previously, of removing myself from the situation, and I texted her and I said, I think this is my version of getting bangs. And I sent her a picture of me crowned as Miss New York volunteer. She's like, excuse me, yeah, that's bigger than getting bangs. Like,
Yeah.
what's going on? And she goes, why didn't you tell me? I was like, I told no one. My mom found out the night before. I
Oh,
had
wow.
two friends. It was in Albany or Troy, right outside of Albany, New York. And so two of my friends came up from the city with me to watch it. And my dad the next day was like, oh, were you gonna tell me that you were competing for Miss New York? And I was like, oh, no, only if it went well. We just wanted to act like it didn't happen if it didn't go well. It was I hadn't competed in something in so long. And so I was an obscene amount of nerves before everything. I always know I'm prepared, but I feel so underprepared. But like, you get there and you have to just settle with the fact that you are as prepared as you're going to be. Like, taking a test, you can't study right before and hope you know all the answers. And I went in and I went into my interview, and I just shared my heart the best that I could. And then we had fitness competition, we had gown and on stage question, and then we had talent. And talent's my favorite part of competition, just because that's the thing I know how to do. And I went up and I sang, I did my thing, knew nobody there. But the girls were absolutely wonderful. We have an incredible board of people that are prepping me for nationals, and my director is absolutely incredible. He's probably one of the sweetest human beings I've ever met in my life. It makes me feel so supported. I mean, even just looking at wardrobe and things, getting ready for nationals. The other day, he made a point to call me and say, everyone's giving their opinion, but at the end of the day, remember, you're the one who has to wear it. You're the one who has to sing it. You're the one who has to walk in there and feel like you. And everyone's opinions are valued, but at the end of the day, yours is the most important, because you have to be the one to do it. And I want you to feel confident. And that was thank you, because that's not always the experience that you get. And I felt so seen, so heard, so validated. And I couldn't ask for a better prep team to be getting me ready and spending this year of service with me and this journey. And my teen, Ella, is, first of all, drop dead gorgeous, genetic lotto pot. I mean, the girl is stunning, one of the kindest souls I've ever encountered. And yeah, it's a really awesome experience. It also opens up so many doors. I'm an arts educator myself, as we've discussed, and an arts advocate in the state of New York is, unfortunately and surprisingly, have very high percentages of public schools that do not offer arts education due to funding.
Really?
Yes, so 112,000, give or take, of students every single year go without arts education in the state of New York, and a
Oh,
large
wow.
percentage of that is actually in Manhattan itself. Surprisingly, I know. It's because we've gone through major budget cuts. A lot of it came after COVID because enrollment went down so much. We used to have year
Okay.
markers that required the Department of Education to allocate a certain percentage of funding to arts programs every year, because there is legislation written that every single public school in New York State has to have at least one licensed arts educator. And there are over 90 schools in the state that don't have one at all because
Wow.
of funding. So we have students in our state going from elementary school and middle school into high school not meeting the required hours in arts education. And these are core courses for a reason. If not, they wouldn't be in the world of education if they weren't. And so being Miss New York really opens up the door to be able to speak people like Mayor Adams and other mayors across the state, and really just having conversations with them about, we're not asking for more money. That's not what we're asking for. We're not asking you to pull it off trees. What we're asking for are to bring those earmarkers back that we got rid of in 2007 and require administrators to give a specific percentage of their budget every year that they know is going to go to that. We're not saying give us more money, just give us requirements of what to do with the money. Make sure that kids have these resources because they're not cheap to do outside of the public school system. And that's where a lot of kids, that's the first place they get that exposure is at school. And so I think that's one of the things I'm most excited about is truly it is a year of service. It's not just, walking around in heels and a crown and doing all of that. It's making an impact on people's lives, and it gives me such a larger platform to be able to do that. And having a team of people to help me get into these spaces, to be able to have these conversations and to show them where there's the proof in the pudding, and really say, we have to make sure that we are creating well-rounded individuals and giving these kids access to things that they deserve and have the right to access. And I think that's something I'm really excited to do, and also just getting to interact with these little humans, because I think it's so often missed that kids are their whole, they are a whole human in themselves. They might not know everything that you know, they might not have experienced everything that you've experienced, but they're a whole person. And getting to know them is really awesome and really cool. And it's, I mean, getting to walk through schools that I would have never gotten to walk through and encountering these individuals, encountering the administrators and the teachers who have dedicated their lives to pouring into these kids, having conversations with them about the things that are scary, about the fact that Manhattan had a ridiculously hard and high proposed budget cut that for a lot of schools would have cut a third of their individual budget for the year. And talking about what can we do, how can we support you, what modifications can I help propose just as my own being to pour into you and your student body and your faculty. And yeah, it's you encounter so many people on a year of service, like being Miss New York, and especially in the volunteer organization, it's, I mean, it's in the name. And so that's a huge part of it. And we're not there to smile for pictures. We're there to make an impact and really touch the lives of people for the long run, not just for the day that we're there. So yeah, it was a whirlwind, but
I am so glad that you were talking about this because I feel like so many of us, especially Christians, we don't know what we don't know. And
yeah.
so, like, I know like a lot of people look at the pageant industry and they're just like, oh, it's vain. Or you think about Miss Congeniality and you're just like, oh, what would you do to save the world? World peace, world peace, world peace. And so no one actually knows what goes into like the level of service behind that commitment. Because yes, you are the face of an organization for a certain amount of time, but what are you able to accomplish within that time? And what gifts has the Lord given you to go out and then share with others to serve for Him? So, like, I'm so glad that you're talking about this because I feel like no one ever talks about this side of world peace.
Well, and also I think too, there's this really big piece of the conversation that's not brought up enough, and that is, I would not have the public speaking abilities that I have if it were not for pageantry. I did not get that through theater. In theater,
Oh.
I was taught how to memorize someone else's words.
Ooh.
In pageantry, I was taught how to eloquently and effectively convey my own thoughts and opinions. And
Wow.
if it had not been for that, and for the women especially who have impacted me in pageantry, I wouldn't be able to. And I mean, because I got involved in pageantry when I was young. I was involved in the Miss America organization, from the Princess program, the preteen program. I was Miss Virginia's outstanding teen as well. Was in the top five at Miss America's outstanding teen. And this guy right here would not have happened if it wasn't for the scholarships that I earned through pageantry. And even still, going on to Miss America Volunteer this year, I have the opportunity to win $50,000 worth of scholarship money, which would allow me to continue my education far beyond what I ever could have done on my own.
Wow.
And that's not talked about enough. There are so many things and so many opportunities that have come into my life because of pageantry that
Yeah.
just simply wouldn't have happened without it. And it really, and I understand some people don't like this element, fully respect it, but for me, there is something really empowering about walking into a room and people not expecting me to say the things that I'm going to say and have the opinions that I have, and doing it with my hair teased, eyelashes on, and in 6-inch heels. Like, you don't expect that. And it there's something really awesome, especially being in a corporate world like I am in my day job, walking into rooms that are often full of men and being able to say, hey, listen, because I have some things that you want to hear, and being able to effectively communicate those things because of pageantry, and then because of pageantry, having the education to be able to have the knowledge to support everything that I'm going to say to them. And then, kind of leaving them just a little bit dumbfounded of like, wait a second, that just happened? And it's really empowering. And I have pageantry to thank for that, because I wouldn't have had the opportunities and the skills that I have gained without it.
I love that. I feel like your entire life, as you mentioned before, you have been a performer, but I feel like what really is happening is that you're allowing God to perform through you.
Yeah, I try.
Yeah.
I try to. I think it's so. I went to a Christian high school, and we had this thing called AACS, which was American Association of Church Schools, and it was a fine arts competition. And I competed in Bible teaching, which is so
Okay.
funny that it was a competition, but it I competed in Bible teaching from elementary school through high school. And my senior year, I made it to nationals, represented the state of Virginia with a lesson. We had to come up with a whole lesson plan, all of our citing, all of that, turn that into the judges. And then I had to teach a lesson to a specific age group for 12 minutes.
Okay.
And we were judged on all components of it. And I made it into the top six at nationals. And my lesson was on being a clean vessel. And when I was prepping that specific lesson, I didn't really I didn't expect to kind of be teaching myself things as I was preparing this lesson that was intended for 12-year-olds. And it really since that, and every time I would perform it for the competition levels, I would always just pray ahead of time to just, God, speak through me. This is your word. I don't want my interpretation to come out. I want your intent to come out. And doing that lesson, I think God really put that lesson on my heart more for myself than for anyone who heard it in those rooms, because it was in that few months of me prepping that and competing in that competition that I really took away from it that being a vessel is not just making sure you're living a life that's worthy of God coming through you, but allowing that space for him to do that. Because if
Absolutely.
we are not allowing ourselves to not just be a clean vessel, but an empty vessel for him to shine through, it's not going to happen. We have to be willing and open and wanting of him to do so. And some days it's hard. I'm definitely not perfect in it at all. And some days I get really frustrated. I think that's one of the interesting elements of viewing Jesus so closely as my friend as I can bicker with him as such as well. And I'm sure I'm very, very annoying. I know I am with him. There are days where I'm like, no. And he's like, okay, sure. We'll see how this goes today. And he wins every time. But I think I try really hard, like I said before, just to love like Jesus and to let that show, because we're so not here for anything else other than to love each other and to be there for each other. And yes, surrounding ourselves with like-minded people is important, but all you're doing is surrounding yourselves with like-minded people. You're never going to grow and you're never going to impact the people and the lives of those who may not be where you're at. And it's about meeting people where they're at. But once you meet them there, you don't want to be the thing that's pulling them in and guiding them. You want to be the vessel for the one who knows how. And I try. Not always successful, but I do try.
Well, that's literally the first step. Making sure that you're open to being the vessel. Cassie, how can people find you?
So I can never remember usernames myself, so I made it really easy. It's just my name on everything. On Instagram, which the most active thing that I'm most active on is Instagram, and then I'm also on TikTok if you want to see videos of my dogs that are 10 seconds long. And Facebook, everything is just Cassie Donegan is just my handle for just about everything. And yeah, I just post goofy, silly little highlights and occasionally some really serious things, and then we go back to the regularly scheduled content of goofy, silly things. But yeah.
That's who you are, and that's who God created you to be. Cassie, I'm so grateful that we had this time to chat. Before I let you go, I have what we call our rapid story round. So you're here on the Faith-Based Storyteller Show. I'm going to ask you six questions, and I just want you to tell me the first thing that comes to mind.
Oh gosh, okay.
Okay. So here on the Faith-Based Storyteller Show, our motto is iron sharpens iron, one story sharpens another. How are you sharpening others in your life?
I think really just attempting to be authentically myself, because if we're not attempting to do so, we're never going to create a safe space for others to do that as well. And I don't want to get to know the social media version of people. I want to get to know who they actually are, because I can't connect with something that's not you.
Amen. I love it. And I appreciate you for allowing us to connect with the authentic you.
It's free, but
It's okay, because this is a safe space. This is safe
yay.
space. So we're going to walk you through your story method. The story method is STORY, strength, technique, obstacles, relationships, and your why. So what is one of the greatest strengths that God has given you?
I think I am someone who cares a lot about not only the things that I do, but the people around me. I do not go into something and half it. I go in 100% with the intent to commit to it at my fullest and ensure that I am caring for you in the way that you need to be cared for in that moment, and trying my best to decipher the love languages that are going to empower you in the best way to be your best self, and doing so wholeheartedly while having the servant's heart that I've been given can be very hard sometimes. I do think that is one of my biggest strengths, because I genuinely find joy in putting my all into everything and to everyone around me.
I love it. Your T in your story method is technique. What has God gifted you to teach?
Oh. I mean, on the most basic level, I'm a theater teacher and a voice teacher, so I do that every week. But also, I think really, I don't. That's a hard one. I don't know if there's specific things that he's gifted me to teach as much as he's gifted me with the ability to be able to speak. And whatever he feels is needed to be heard in those moments, he allows me to hear his message that he needs to get across, rather than something that he's put in me that I need to be teaching to others, if that makes any sense.
That absolutely makes sense.
Okay.
I love it. The O in your story method is obstacle, but it's twofold because it's also overcome. So what is a recent obstacle that you overcame?
I think my greatest strength is often my biggest obstacle. I care too much, and often I don't care with the expectation of return, but I often don't get it in return because I care so much. And it's not that those people aren't caring for me, it's that I care too much. And that I often can pour into others at the detriment of myself. And like we were talking about earlier, I am responsible for ensuring my cup is filled again. And I have to really make sure in 2024 that boundaries are in and saying yes to everything is out. And because I can't be the support that I need to be for certain individuals or in certain places in my life and be the best version of myself for you to bring out the best version of you if I simply am caring too much about certain things and pouring too much into certain things that just I have to take. If they care about you and they love you authentically, they're never going to be mad if you say, I need 24 hours and then we'll get back to business.
Nope.
And I think I have a really hard time doing that.
Boundaries.
Yes.
Boundaries.
Yeah.
The R in your story method is relationship. So, how are you currently building your relationship with the Father?
Yeah, I think it's really trying to lean more into the admiration and the respect for him as our father and as our creator and keeping and maintaining that friendship that I have with Jesus. And it's funny, there's someone in my life who I care very, very much about who I love having conversations with this person about faith and Jesus and just everything because they're always so thought-provoking. And we were talking the other day about how we hear about God the Father all the time. We hear about Jesus all the time. We don't often talk about the Holy Spirit as anything other than the Spirit. And so that, oh my gosh, that like shot this wave in me of like, okay, so I'm working on ensuring that I still have the admiration for God, always constantly ensuring that I don't forget who he is just because I'm so close with Jesus as my friend and have such a comfortable relationship there. But oh my word, I've been like totally like just dipping out on the Holy Spirit over here. And I think it's so hard because sometimes it messes with our brains to be like, oh, but they're the same person, but like they're also not, but like they are. And recognizing he's not just there to be like, hello, you're doing something wrong. He's there to guide you. He's there to comfort you. And so remembering that I can turn to him in those times, but also he's included in that worship. He's included in that praise. And so right now I'm really bad about starting like 17 Bible studies and devotionals at once. And I just ordered like literally six more and I'm not I'm doing, but that's fine. I'll be set when I'm done. But right now I'm really just trying to study and worship and work on getting to know the Holy Spirit
That's
and
so good.
deciphering who he is. Because if you don't know the fullness of someone, you can't really know them. And I think I haven't done my due diligence of ensuring that I know the Holy Spirit along with knowing the Father and knowing Jesus. And so that's kind of where I'm my mission right now in that regard.
I love it. I love it. And the Holy Spirit, like, I feel like I always say the Holy Spirit's my homeboy.
Yeah.
Like, that's just my homeboy.
Yeah.
He's always in the
He's
room.
just
Always
chilling.
in the
Yeah.
room. So you might
Yeah.
as well just invite him in.
Right, exactly. Because he's coming out of the way.
Exactly. Literally.
Yeah.
All right, Cassie, my last question for you is the why in your story method. Why do you believe God has called you to do what you do?
Really, I think he could have called me to do whatever he wanted me to do, right? And I would have been completely content in whatever that calling was. I think he's called me both for the impact I can have on others, but also the impact it'll have on myself. I am put in a very public industry, in very public settings, as a very self-conscious and conscious and honestly at times self-deprecating person. Like I said, I am my biggest critic. I am so hard on myself. And despite being someone who's puts myself in very public settings often, I'm like terrified of public interaction at times. And I am very socially awkward. My ADHD can make me different. And it wasn't until I was an adult that I really started to be able to be confident in those differences and combating that and being able to say, okay, I'm in this situation not because of the change I'm supposed to make in others right now, but he's making a change in me through this. And
Yes.
that in turn is going to impact others. And post-COVID especially, I mean, I've had such a change in social settings. Yeah, they can still be scary for me, but I think it's because public speaking, I know what I'm saying. I've prepared it. I've got it together. I know my thoughts, my opinions, and I'm standing up there and I'm performing it. Social settings, I'm myself and I have to be. And I think the reason he's called me to do so many of the things that I am called to do is to not just empower others of, you know, in what the multitude of ways that I can in whatever the situation is, but also to empower myself and to find the confidence in him and the safety net in him and in myself. And I guess like just the really big why is to like do good to people. And I've never wanted to make it in the entertainment industry because I wanted to make it in the entertainment industry. I've always wanted to make it in the entertainment industry for the platform that it allows me to do things for other people and to have an impact on people's lives. And there are so many things I want to do and so many resources that I would need to do them. And I genuinely believe that those are not put on my heart for zero purpose. And I think that he's put me where I am for the greater things that are to come after it to impact people after the potential successes that I have that lead me to be able to impact people in the way that I want to impact them for his glory and in his name. And I'm just really thankful that he's allowed me to do what I have done in that regard so far. And I know nowhere near done, nowhere near done. And I'm so excited for the things that we're going to get to do together for the benefit of others for, you know, however long I'm blessed to be here on this earth. And so I'm just excited to see the rest of the journey and the rest of the ride that he takes me on.
Amen. Cassie, thank you so much for your time.
Thank
Thank you so
you.
much for having such a servant's heart and for all of the amazing work that you're doing, not just for the next generation and the children that you're impacting, but also for the current generation and what you're currently doing in schools across New York, and just being the public figure that you are. Like, just thank you for allowing the Lord to perform through you.
Yeah, I mean, thank you for allowing me to come in and speak on it. It's can be a little silly sometimes, like talking about myself, but I appreciate the space that you've given me and so many of the other people who've been on your podcast to just come and share and talk about Jesus and authentically just be ourselves in community, and it's really awesome. So thanks.
Truly a pleasure. All righty, my loves. I hope that you enjoyed this episode. I hope that you enjoyed Cassie and just the light that she is. She's literally the most adorable thing ever. Not thing, but she's literally so adorable and she has such a pure heart. And I'm so grateful that we had the opportunity to connect. Also, she is in the running to be Mrs. or go to Nationals for Miss New York. So please keep her in your prayers. Make sure you reach out to her, support her. And if you want to connect with her, all of her links she gave, but it's at Cassie Donegan. I also have that in description. If this episode was a blessing to you, please like, comment, and share. Share with someone that you know it's going to bless as well. And if you are looking for another faith-based storyteller-like community, if you're looking for accountability, if you want to be surrounded by amazing storytellers like Cassie or like previous guests that have been on this podcast, we have a community for that. We have a community where we not only hold each other accountable, but we pray for each other. You know, we sharpen each other. There are podcast trainings, there's audio trainings, there's all the things in Faith Audio Network. So you might as well come over and join us. So you can visit more or visit the website. And to learn more, make sure you check out faithaudionetwork.com. That's faithaudionetwork.com. And until next time, my loves, just remember that God loves you and so do I. So let's allow him to perform through us. It's not just about who we are on stage, but it's about who God created us to be and allowing his light to shine in everything that we do. Talk to you later. Bye.